It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Today's episode is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to let them know that you heard about it from the Ringside Rant.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is the man of 1,006 holds. JD, Justin Davis. What's up, bud?
Not much. What is going on, everybody? I am here live from beautiful downtown Huntington, West Virginia. And glad to be back here on Ringside Rant. And I got a lot of fun stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, it's been a stressful week. It really has been. A lot of you know why. My beloved Bills didn't do too hot on Monday Night Football to one sexy boy, Frank Bruno's Tennessee Titans. Or should we say Tennessee Henry's, because he basically is the whole goddamn team, because he, when you run for 134, 143 yards and three touchdowns, that's pretty much your whole offense.
Now, see, if I was the Bills, I think this would have been my strategy. We have 11 guys on the field. There is one of him. What if we all just tried to tackle him? Did they ever consider that strategy?
I think they did, but it's like trying to tackle Ron Simmons, I think.
Or, you know, Mustadon.
That him too. He's a big boy. I don't want to mess with him or his man bun.
I can't reach the top to get to the man bun.
I can't either. At least he can tell me how receding my hairline is now, though.
I'd have to pull a Bret Hart on man bun and go after the knees.
Well, you would have to.
Focus on a body part.
You would have to. Frank and I had a little bet, obviously, as you know, and we'll get to that sooner than later, obviously. As I promised.
Well, on the good side of things, the Bengals kicked ass in Detroit, as I predicted, and they will now be going to the beautiful city of Baltimore to play the Ravens. Well, and I am fired up and ready to go, because I like our chances to at least be in this game. I'm not saying we will win, but I think we will make this a very good football game.
I'm pretty sure the Cincinnati School of the Blind could beat the Detroit Lions last week.
Well, you know, but
they almost lost it though. Not really. It was like 35-3. So
yeah. I think it was 10-0 at halftime, but then we started to pour it on.
I will say my upset pick of the weekend will be, I don't, but see, I don't know if you consider it an upset. I'm picking the Bengals to beat the Ravens, though. I
feel it. I feel it coming. The juju is rolling over here in Cincy right now.
And we're not talking about Juju Smith-Schuster from Pittsburgh either.
No, I'd roll him down the hill in a bucket.
There's just something about Cincinnati, man. I don't know what it is.
They're a good, young, exciting team, and they are getting better each week for sure.
I think the west side of Ohio is getting the good juju, and the east side of Ohio is getting the injury bug, as we saw with everybody and their mothers getting hurt with in Cleveland. Baker's out with he separated his shoulder, tore his labrum, and fucked up everything. It just came out now. He was talking
too bad. Too bad. So sad.
Yeah. Well,
he sucks anyways. I think Cleveland might be better without him. Just kidding, but I don't think he's an elite quarterback.
They're playing as we speak. We're recording, obviously, the Thursday night, as you're listening at 9 a.m. on Friday. They're playing at home against Denver. And yeah. I picked Denver to come all the way from the West Coast to beat them, too. So
the Battle of the Orange.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see how it goes.
It's a battle of, what are they, what, like 3-4 or 2-4 or something, I think.
I actually think it could be a good game. We'll see.
It'll be a shootout.
We're not going to get to watch it, though, because we are busy, hard at work for you fans, as always.
Of course, without question. But this is a wrestling podcast, after all, so we are going to be talking about and ranting, if you will, about Saturday night's main event 28, which came to us on September 18th, 1990, but it aired on October 13th, 1990, from the lovely sports arena in Toledo, Ohio.
Do you know what else was going on in Ohio in 1990 around this
Bengals.
Time?
The Bengals were doing well.
Even better. The Reds were winning a fucking World Series against the Oakland A's around this time in 1990.
That was Paul O'Neill.
And it didn't last very long. It was only four games because the poor A's couldn't even put up a whimper.
Famous New York Yankee was winning his first World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, as we're speaking as well, this possible deciding game of the NLCS is happening as we're talking between the Braves and the Dodgers. So,
yes.
Hopefully for one.
Over on the baseball side, I'm rooting for some Astros this year because I am a Dusty Baker fan as a former manager of the Reds, and I hope he gets him a World Series. So good luck, Dusty.
Yeah, well, at least if they win it this time, they won't be cheating. So
true. So. Dusty doesn't put up with that bullshit.
But one show that didn't cheat, obviously, was the Saturday night's main event that we're talking about this week. Justin, this is our second or third Saturday night's main event that we've talked about on the show. And a lot of people, they don't really recognize how good this wrestling was. This specific show, maybe not so much.
Maybe not so much. The wrestling
in general.
The wrestling matches, I enjoyed most of what they were. They were star-studded matches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the shit in between with the German shit and all the puns in every interview they did where Hogan's like, you know something, brother, I've been thinking about making up some wiener schnitzel. And like, what are we talking about?
He's got to go get his thermos.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That part just was really crazy. They were really going over the top with the themes on these Saturday night's main events. Now, we had watched, I think, the Safari one, right? Or there was another one we watched that had a theme. Was it the zoo or Safari?
It was a zoo or something, yeah. Something
now they're animals. Now it's Oktoberfest, and Vince is just having a fucking fantastic time with all his stupid puns to open the show and everything. And it's just a little bit ugh. But the matches, some of them weren't too bad.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. But one guy that looks very good in a lederhosen is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
Right, thanks for that, Rich. Justin, this week, man, they started off really interesting, we should say. They are now doing yet another bad idea for a theme. I don't think it's a bad idea because I grew up around Oktoberfest, all the German community, the food, the dancing, the lederhosens, what have you. But not in Saturday Night's main event, man. Basically the superstars who weren't wrestling were sitting around in Bavarian costumes, we'll say.
Poor the Hart Foundation had to get drugged into this shit.
Well, they're hammered anyways. They've been drinking.
I did like Nightheart in that outfit.
Oh that my god, that was hilarious. But they made it their own, you know. And it's just like, come on, man, this is just crap. And then you get the opening introductions, and Vince is sitting there, and it's just like, you can't help but freaking hate this shit because he just sounds so stupid. Like you said, with all these German puns and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely terrible. And they did some interviews before this first match with Hawk and Animal. We had a 6-man tag team, right, to open this thing?
To open it, yeah.
Yeah, and they go to Hawk and Animal, and this line got me. He goes, "Or you can whimper over your wieners." I'm like, what? He just said whimper over your wieners. That's where we're going with this. Hawk and Animal, yeah. The most scared tag team in the world. They're telling us not to whimper over our wieners. And then them and the Ultimate Warrior, all three yell, Blitzkrieg.
I really don't know where to take that, you know, because you get two different ends of the spectrum talking about whimpering over your wieners and then Blitzkrieg. It's like, okay, what are we really doing here? You know, how
we're trying to get every German, stereotype in that we can. That's basically that's the game. If you actually counted how many were said or referred to or shown, it would have been an unbelievable amount. We might need to go back and see how many times a wrestler or an announcer on the show gave a German pun or, you know, stereotypical mm-hmm. comment.
Yeah. It happened. You can make a nice little drinking game out of that too.
Oh, it wouldn't last very long.
That's exactly my point. I'm like, I will partake obviously in it anyways, but it'll be interesting to see other people do it. But, you know, you mentioned, Neidhart there with his German getup, his Lederhosen and whatnot. Watching this early segment here, who do you think looked best in the Lederhosen? You had Mean Gene in there with his dress shoes with no socks, and I'm like, really? You couldn't? It's a attention to detail, man. At least put some socks on, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I mean, for who looked best, it's Bret Hart, of course. He's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Interesting side note. Did you see his Mount Rushmore of technical wrestlers online?
Yeah.
You did? Mm-hmm. Okay. I figured you did. Interesting. If you don't, go follow Bret Hart at Bret Hart on Twitter. He mentioned his four best technical wrestlers right now being AJ Styles, CM Punk / Bryan Danielson, and I'm blanking on the other two. I forgot who they were.
I think it was.
I know
what's
AJ.
His name? Luchasaurus, maybe.
I thought it was Marco Stunt personally, but maybe not. I don't know. Oh, or what's his face? Juicy Janela, or what does Cornette call him?
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Jelly Janela.
There we go. I haven't listened to Cornette in a while, so I can't really relate to it. But, anyways. What I did miss a lot from this time frame was these 1990s graphics, man. I don't know if it was just me growing up as you were too, but I just miss these graphics. How obviously time changes, graphics change. Fine, great, wonderful. But
I
gotta go back to this every once in a while.
The music is what, you know, really gets me, because that music always just got me pumped up. I mean, when this show happened, I was 5 years old. So just that music and that intro and just how they used to do the promos at the beginning and they usually led off with the main event. It was just always such a fun show. I love Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah, because you weren't six until January, right?
Yeah.
Because I was already six. I was six in June. But yeah, that is Saturday night's main event theme here. Obviously, we played at the beginning of this episode, but was this your favorite wrestling theme song in regards to an event? Obviously, not being an actual wrestler's theme.
I don't know. There's been so many good ones.
I don't even remember. You got to go back to, I think it was it when I we mean, did
honestly,
that Raw.
I remember, yeah.
2 weeks when ago when in, we did that one.
When I was in middle school, I liked Thorn in Your Eye, that opening to Raw.
Yeah, from 90,
the thorn in your eye. Dun, 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 dun. Remember that?
Yeah.
I used to get me psyched.
I like the one from the 98 there when we covered that Raw. But even you can even go back to it with Marilyn Manson, Beautiful People for SmackDown.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think it was
there's a lot. I like the old school WrestleMania music.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. That you go real
like the early, like the early '90s WrestleMania music, like mm-hmm. around this time. Yeah. I love that too.
Oh, you're not talking the whole like way back.
No, I mean like this period of time. Okay. Like da 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 da. It's WrestleMania, you know. That was I love that.
It's not wrestling with music yet, Justin, but I'll take it. Oh. I'll take it though. Hey, you have a lovely singing voice. I don't want to, you know, take that away from our loyal listeners. Fantastic.
Right.
And believe it or not, we're talking about the listeners now. We'll talk about this gentleman later too, but looks like Money Mike cleaned up his office.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe that.
Maybe it's just that in camera view.
Yeah, well, he probably threw some couple papers away behind him, but everything else is trash.
Well, he has to save the important papers anyways. The commentary team here on this episode was Roddy Piper and a Lederhosen with no shirt.
Yeah.
And I paid the attention to detail. Did you notice his wrists were taped?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me that caught that.
Honestly, this announcing was hard for me to get through a little bit. They both were just way too over the top. Yeah. And Piper's voice, and I know I'm going to catch heat for this, but his voice when he's yelling and screaming all the time throughout a whole show can get annoying. And it kind of got annoying to me throughout this show. I know I'll catch heat on that, but that's kind of how it was.
I can see that, but I'm like, but that was who Roddy was. Is more so like when he was on commentary, that's who he was, though. Whether he was with McMahon or whether he's with Gorilla and Bobby or whatever, that's just who he was at that time when he was in character on commentary. But
these two are no JR and King, that's for sure.
Well, I don't, there's nobody out there now then that were close to that, to JR and King. Yeah. What they would be later on, you know, and I think we would have had the AEW commentary is really getting there, obviously, now with JR, who's with there with Excalibur and Tony. But still, yeah, there's not really been too many out there that can really hold a candle to him.
No. But yeah, this announcing was just not very good, bottom line.
I agree with that. But the opening match here was, like you mentioned before, was the six-man tag, Legion of Doom, Hawk, Animal, and the Ultimate Warrior taking on the three members of Demolition. What are your thoughts on Crush and part of Demolition?
He was a big guy, bad-looking guy at the time. I mean, at the time, it kind of was okay. But my thoughts on Crush overall is it's just, he's bad. It never works. It never gets over. He never really got over, ever, Crush. I think the most time Crush ever got over was Kona Crush as a baby face. Hawaiian Crush, yeah. Like Hawaiian Punch. Hawaiian Crush. But yeah, but no.
I think it was, you're starting to see the change in the guards. Cause I think, I don't know if it was Smash or Axe that were taking time. I think it might've been Smash that wanted to take some time.
Yeah, no, it was Axe. Axe is the one he had. Axe had a apparently blamed it on a shellfish allergy that he got sick from and had issues with, and I don't know. That's a story that I've heard.
Right. Yeah. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But you know, that's obviously your own opinion, of course. But this feud, Legion of Doom, Demolition, is something that the world has wanted to see for several years leading up to the 1990s here. We saw the Road Warriors cost Demolition the titles at SummerSlam to the Hart Foundation. So they're planting the seeds of this feud. Why the hell would you not want the tag team match for the titles here? Why would you want to inject the Warrior into it? Why? And Crush as well.
Hart Foundation has the titles here. So neither one of these two.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I apologize. Yeah.
But why
would you not want to, you know, have at least Demolition get the rematch? Make it a three-way.
Yeah,
I know that's, you know, hindsight being now booking it now, but and they never did a lot of, if any, triple threat tag team matches in 1990 anyways.
No,
I don't know why
this feud never really happened. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances with these two groups anyways. Like we said, Axe really wasn't around much at one point. That's how they won the tag team titles from the Hart Foundation, is it was just Crush and Smash, and then Axe come in and got under the ring and did a switch, the old switcheroo, and the referee, Joey Morella, apparently couldn't figure out that that wasn't Crush and that was Axe. So,
you know, I wish I had like face paint or something on their faces. You could tell them tell the difference, you know, but, watching this match, you just got to go look back on and say, holy shit, was this a fucking stiff match?
Yeah, Warrior just no-sold for everyone, like fucking usual. I was getting annoyed with that when I was watching it. People would hit him or do something to him, and he'd just sit there, stand there like nothing ever happened.
But who do you think was more stiff in this match? The Ultimate Warrior by himself? Or Demolition and LOD combined?
Demolition was probably the least stiff out of everyone in that ring. I don't know. I feel like Hawk and Animal could be a little more stiff when they wanted to be. I don't think Warrior had a choice. He was just that bad. That's just where he is.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's just like, come on, man. You got to figure something out. Do something. Because it just got so goddamn bad. I don't think it did this match any good. It really didn't.
It was for what it was. It was a star-studded opener that I kind of enjoyed just because of that.
Now, did you even
And I will say this. Warrior's black tights were kind of cool. He didn't wear those very often.
And he also didn't have the full face paint either. He had like the little Warrior symbol underneath his eye.
He had, it was like a black and pink or something Warrior symbols on his tights, and he had yellow boots. But I was into his whole get up in this show. I thought it was pretty cool.
Now, was there any doubt in your mind that the Warrior and LOD were going to lose? Do you think even Demolition even stood a chance?
No, not while Warrior's the WWE champion.
But because he would end up losing it to Slaughter, right? But where the hell? Because we're in October.
Yeah,
he'd lose it to Survivor Series, right?
I think it's Royal Rumble.
Oh, Royal Rumble, excuse me. That's what it was. Okay. Because I knew it was later towards the end of this year, or it was the beginning of 91. Because then obviously then Slaughter would go on to face Hogan. Warrior would end up going in their retirement match with Savage. Mm-hmm. But I just looking at it, it's like, you can look at this whole fucking card, especially more so this opening match. And it's just like, why make me want to believe that they're going to lose? You know what I mean? Maybe it's just me looking at it now and not when I'm 6 years old.
Warrior doesn't help you believe it when he no sells everything.
Well, Warrior doesn't help me believe anything. And looking at it now, knowing we know now what ended up happening after the case, there's a reason why, a big reason why, the Warrior's theme hasn't been part of this show yet. And it can, and I'll, spoiler alert, it will not be this week. Because, like I said, I can't, I know how you feel about him, but I just think he's, you can say, oh, he made amends, he made amends. Oh, bullshit. He said what he said. We're not going to get into it. It's out there. If you want to do it, go Google it. I'm not going to talk about it because it's, it'll just piss me off even more. But it's just, I don't know. You put a guy, you put a strap on this guy and he can't do shit. You know, when you got somebody sitting there, and we'll get into it, transition here to this Dusty match. You got a guy sitting there like a Macho Man, Macho King at this time. You got a guy like Dusty Rhodes, Ted DiBiase. Fuck, I would even put it on Virgil before I put it on goddamn Ultimate Warrior. That's how bad. That's how bad I hate Ultimate Warrior. I'd put the fucking belt on Virgil.
He was selling a lot of goddamn merch, pal.
Oh fuck, Virgil could sell merch. What the hell? Why not? Yeah. You know, I'm going to start, maybe I should start like titling these episodes instead of what we're covering. We'll just come up with, hey, Virgil's number one merch seller or something. Just bullshit fucking titles and not try to have people figure it out. And maybe I'll try that this week. Who knows?
After this match, though, they went to a little venue or a little segment with Lord Alfred Hayes, and Mean Gene tries to throw to him. And the gimmick is that Lord Alfred has his earpiece pulled up so he can't hear them talking to him. So he's on a live mic and he's talking to this guy about German beer and how much he's drunk of it and whatever. I just thought it was kind of a fun little gimmick for 1990 to have Lord Alfred on a live mic like that.
But do you think it was too big? Do you think it was too much or was it just enough? Because
I thought that was one of my, of all the German shit, the Lord Alfred shit was my favorite.
Like, yeah, and it would happen basically. What happened to have every segment that they'd send it over, and I don't even know where they were doing it. Obviously, it's pre-tape, but
yeah. So, anyways, now we go into this the next match, which is the American Dream, baby, Dusty Rhodes against the Macho King Randy Savage.
So this you start to see Dust. You see Dustin Rhodes at ringside, which would. Should pretty much hint that something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost. And what pisses me off even more that this was pretty much the end of this feud, which I low key actually like this feud between Dusty and Savage.
Oh, I do too.
And nothing against DiBiase.
I already done lost my baby Sapphire. I lost all my powers.
I know, but something that you can't get away with in 2021 that you could get away with 1990 when you could sell a person to a quote unquote $1 million man.
Listen here, baby. Dusty Rhodes needed season tickets to the Longhorn game. All right.
Oh God. That's just terrible. But we can't. We might as well just close shop. We can't get any better. Done. We can't get any better or worse than that. But
got front row parking too with it. Got front row parking.
That's at least $20 right there, baby. That's at least $20. But we start to see DiBiase and Virgil coming down, basically buying out every ringside seat. From everybody that's sitting there. And basically, Virgil's on one side of Dustin, DiBiase's on the other. And they just start, you know, heckling Dusty. And then heckling Dustin. And it's just like, this is exactly what we knew was going to fucking happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we skipped over this, but Dusty comes out in the rare red polka dots with the top hat and the... I had a chicken foot, foot hanging out the front, baby. Mm-hmm. No chicken foot, you know? And yeah, the red polka dots, which he wasn't in very often, and like the red polka dot duster on top. And then, you know, Macho King coming out, no robe now. Now he's wearing the jacket and cowboy hat, but it was like a blue and black and white checked type gimmick, which I actually thought was kind of cool. So both of them was bringing it with the attire for this Saturday night's main event.
You know, that, and that was one of the questions that Top Gal Amy wanted to bring it to our attention. We might as well say it now while we're talking about it. While we're talking about it is she asked about Dusty's red polka dots on his shirt and his trunks. And she only remembers him with the yellow polka dots.
Well, listen here, Amy, you forgot. You forgot. I also have a big red polka dot on my belly, baby.
That's a birthmark, Dusty.
Oh, sorry. I want to make a match, yo. Sorry, not yeah. Me.
They're going to match with my tights, baby. But yeah, I don't, she said, did he change the color up of his polka dots frequently? Was this a one-time thing? Do you remember all the other colors?
I only wore the red when I was really mad. That's when I wore the red.
I don't really think I don't think he wore anything other than the yellow and the red. I don't remember. I don't think he wasn't his run with WWF wasn't that long anyways. By 92, I think he was down in WCW.
91, I think.
Or was it 91? It was late 91.
Yeah, because it was like Flair came there and Dusty went there.
Because it pretty much was after. Yeah, that's basically what happened, is it kind of flip-flopped. And it was pretty much, I think it was right after WrestleMania, because I remember him wrestling at WrestleMania. And then he'd go, and then he'd go back down there with behind the scenes and whatnot. But we would see Dustin try to rise and cheer on his dad, but basically DiBiase sends him down again and again and again and again. And Dustin's like, fuck this. Enough's enough. You're bad mouthing a goddamn good name of Dusty Rhodes and the Texas Longhorns, and just punches him in the face. I don't know if he actually did it because of that, but, and then Virgil starts coming out. So they're basically double teaming him. This was just a clusterfuck at the end here. I don't know why they'd want to involve all this shit in this feud. This feud did enough for me where you didn't have to involve everybody else. To me anyways, because Dusty and Savage were criminally underrated at this time. And just Dusty deserved better. He really did. And I mean, WWF anyways.
May he rest in peace, but Dusty was pretty large and in charge here. That's one thing I noticed during the show.
But he gained a lot of weight. But he was a big dude. He was always been a big dude. Obviously, he's bigger at this point.
Yeah.
But
my belly hang just a little long.
But you go down to the 80s when he's down south with JCP, with NWA. He was still a big boy.
Oh, I know, but yeah, you could definitely tell he was starting to gain some.
That was fine. But they're still talking about the fucking Savage and Warrior feud. Stop fucking talking about other goddamn feuds during a match that doesn't involve the fucking Warrior. There was a match before. Who gives a shit? Talk about the matches in front of you. That has been my biggest gripe. I haven't watched the broadcast TV from WWE. I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown in months. That was their biggest thing that turned me off, is they're not concentrating on the fucking talent in the ring. They're talking about the next pay-per-view. They're talking about next week. Who gives a shit? Talk about this week. Talk about this event.
Yeah. I just think the end of this match was just meant to kind of finish off the Macho Dusty stuff and start this Rhodes DiBiase feud or whatever they're starting here.
Yeah. So this only, like I said, this wasn't for what it was worth. They could have done so much good shit with this feud and they just didn't. They basically punted it, said, okay, we're done with this. We're going to put you with fucking DiBiase. And no wonder he fucking left in 91. He was getting dog shit storylines.
Yeah.
And I say dog shit storylines, not to dismiss DiBiase or Dusty. It was just the bullshit that they were put through.
Yeah.
And speaking of bullshit, here comes Rhythm and Blues.
Rhythm and Booze was right.
Rhythm and Booze is an independent tag team up here in Rochester. But anyways, Rhythm and Blues.
That sounds like my tag team name that I'd be in.
Rhythm and Booze.
Yeah, but it's spelled with a Z, not an S.
Yeah, right. Hey, we know which one you'd be. You'd be the Booze, right? Because we know you don't have no fucking rhythm. Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine coming out with Jimmy Hart, taking on Hulk Hogan and Tugboat. And as you saw, I just yawned. I was thinking about the Hogan promo before this, so. And everybody knows how I feel about Hogan. If you listen to the show, you know how I feel about Hogan too. Him and Ultimate Warrior can take a fucking long walk on a short pier.
Hogan's promo was full of really shitty German puns and shit too the whole time. So.
Yeah. So to start off, just like every other Hogan match, he makes his opponents look like they're fucking jobbers. So, Valentine, one of these is not like the other, and Valentine
worked his ass off in this match.
And he's always been one of the biggest and best workers in this era.
And you can tell he worked his ass off because by the end of this match, he was soaking wet head to toe, sweating.
And Hogan was just fucking glistening because he had all the fucking baby oil. But where do you stand on Tugboat? Do you think we're going to get to him more in depth in the listener questions, but you know, the rumor and innuendo at this time was he was going to turn on Hogan.
Yeah. And he eventually did. Right.
And he eventually did, but he would have become associated with
Earthquake
and Jimmy Hart and Jimmy Hart later on. But I'm talking about with, the Sheik Tugboat. He'd basically feud with Hogan more. And I don't think that was the right natural disaster to face Hogan. I just think Earthquake should have beaten Warrior and or Hogan for the title. Yeah. Earthquake was so, he was another one that's criminally underrated in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. You definitely could have put the title on Earthquake like before this.
Right.
Like what? Well, like instead of doing the face versus face match at WrestleMania 6, which everyone did enjoy and want, but maybe you could put that off another year and have Hogan Earthquake and put Earthquake over somehow and then have Earthquake give it to Warrior. And then at the next WrestleMania, you could have Hogan Warrior.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we saw at the end of this match was Tugboat and Hogan won with DQ when Earthquake and Dino Bravo came down and basically squashed Hogan, which I absolutely love just because they're squashing Hogan.
Yeah.
Earthquake, I've always liked the heel characters in wrestling. Earthquake was always one of those guys. You knew he was a good guy. He was one of those big jolly guys, but you get him in the ring, he's fucking scary as shit. He scared the shit out of me.
Oh, when he smeared Hulk Hogan onto the mat, like the little grease spot, you know, when I was that made me cry. I was a sad little 5-year-old.
Well, you know, and at 5-6 years old, everybody was a Hulkamaniac.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, I'm not saying you're always a Hulkamaniac, but at one time everybody was. And if you deny that, then I don't think you're a real wrestling fan. But besides the point. So basically, they come out and basically clearing the ring of all the heels, swinging around the guitar, all that bullshit.
Yeah. And Tugboat saves Hogan.
I'm just like,
with the guitar.
I'm just like, what the fuck, man? This, my head hurt. My head hurt so many times watching this.
And Honky Tonk Man, you know, for the most part, did not have a working guitar. Like, Fred hit a bunch of guys with that thing, and it didn't crack one bit.
No. But I just didn't get it. I didn't like the match, and a lot of people didn't like it anyways. But something that a lot of people did like, and you mentioned it too, was Drunk Alfred Hayes after this. Now they're talking about this fucking sausage stuffing contest. The genius is the best at stuffing sausages.
I would agree with that.
That doesn't age well, man. I don't know, but I'm like, I'm just sitting there.
And I heard the genius can stuff his own sausage. Yeah. Is what I heard.
Yeah. Unreal. Anyways, yeah, it's
I heard it through the grapevine.
Man, we can't go anywhere but down here. Something I really do want to talk about. We're not going to talk about this fucking clusterfuck of a so-called main event with Slaughter and Coco, but I want to end on this before we go to our listener questions, because I really like these two performers, these two talent.
By the way, if we're not going to talk about Coco Beware, I just want to make the point that his theme music is basically a ripoff of The Price is Right.
I have to go back and listen to it because I can't remember it. He goes like, da da da. Oh, okay. I remember, yeah.
I swear that's what they ripped that off.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and listen to it because I can't remember. I think I remember bits and pieces like when you did that. But a much better match that it should have been. It was rated terrible. I don't know why. Maybe it was only 4 minutes. That's probably why. But your Intercontinental Champion, Kerry Von Erich, taking a Haku with Bobby Heenan. This match should have been.
Did you know that this is the first Intercontinental match where both people had K's in their name? I did my research on this show.
Really? I'm impressed. It's that little
Or I just made that up.
Hey, I believed it for a second there. Hey, it's possible. I don't fucking know. See, now everybody's gonna go back into the fucking Google and see it, like this fucking shit with the Intercontinental. Everybody with a K. First time both team people had a K. Now my mind's going. It's like, is it really fucking possible? No. I'm like, I'm not looking at every fucking Intercontinental match, but Kerry Von Erich is the IC champion here. Would win with their tornado punch. Can't call it the claw.
No, he did the claw, and they did call that.
Oh,
the
tornado
claw,
punch was the discus.
He put the claw on.
Yeah.
At the end of this match, I don't remember if that's what he won it with or not.
No, he won with the
Then he got the tornado punch after he had him dazed from the claw.
But yeah. I'm like, you can't use the claw after. You can't use that for your finish. What the fuck?
That's how I'm going to go over on Efren. I'm going to put on the claw.
The real question is, where is the claw going to be?
Well, that's where you just have to figure that out on your own.
I'm pretty sure Efren knows where, but... God damn, that'll just rock me to sleep tonight.
Oh, God, he's got the claw. Where is it? I can't see his hand.
It's in gall. It's so vascular. But no, these two guys, like I said, I think this has been that event where so many people are so underrated and underappreciated. These are two of them. And you want to talk about fucking stiff matches, fucking put Haku in it. Put a Kerry Von Erich, any Von Erich in it. Don't make you fucking believe.
No, I actually like this combo of styles. It was very interesting. Haku at this time wasn't the same wrestler Haku was, you know, for WCW 1999 or whatever. He was a very different type of wrestler here, and I thought that their styles kind of went well together.
Mm. Are you surprised they didn't know what to do with fucking Kerry?
I mean, they pushed him and put the Intercontinental title on him. I don't think it was that they didn't know what to do with him. I think it was Kerry's reliability and drug issues that led to the end of his push.
Right. Ultimately kind of pushed him out the door and to other pastures. But it's in the wrestling business, that is. I'm not promoting his death by any means, but because I know people fucking hate tweet me and all that bullshit, but wouldn't be the first time this week. But
even without that comment, you guys can still hate tweet him. It's fine.
They're going to anyways, where they tell them not to anyways. And most of them are two individuals that we know very well. Anyways, before we get to the listener questions, I want to get your comment. Actually, no, we'll get the comment in the question. Excuse me. I remember it's down below.
Did my agent not tell you I'm not taking any questions at this time?
Oh, well, fuck your agent then.
Sorry. We just decided on that.
You didn't say, well, fuck, you didn't sign the contract yet. God damn it. So with that being said, we're going to send it over to a public service announcement from yours truly. I pre-recorded this just for Frank Bruno.
And I have heard this already, ladies and gentlemen, and it is fantastic. I hope you all enjoy it. I know I did.
So I'll give you a little premise before we get into it. For those of you that don't know, I am a big Bills fan. If you don't know by listening to the show, then shame on you. But seriously, Bills played the Titans this week. Frank and I came up with a jump. Originally, Frank wanted to put money on it. I said, no, I don't want to put money on it.
Well, you know, Frank, he's a high rolling some bitch.
Well,
there.
Exactly. He's high rolling.
Providence.
He's in Rhode Island. Fuck. Anyways, he said, okay, well, why don't we just do like a gentleman's bet, friendly bet, nothing at stake. He wanted me to buy a Titan. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with a goddamn Titans shirt after or a jersey? I'm like, I'm not going to fucking buy anything. I said, you know what's even better? Public humiliation. Humiliation. I can't even fucking talk.
Either one of those things would suck, I think.
Yeah, either way. So we basically came up with the idea of the loser would have to read a speech made by the other person. So with the Bills losing, I had to read a speech written by one Frank Bruno.
I'll tell you what, Frank can write a prose, ladies and gentlemen, and you're about to find out. This is some good shit.
And this
is good shit, pal.
And this is exhibit 600 that we should cancel, Frank Bruno. So Frank, this is for you, buddy. Dear Ranters Nation, I have an urgent statement to make to the Bills Mafia. Something I've had to say for over 21 years. In January of 2000, the Music City Miracle occurred. I need to finally admit that it was in fact a legal play. It was a beautiful backwards pass by the greatest tight end in the league, Frank Wycheck. The pass was then caught by Kevin Dyson and returned for a score that sealed the fate of my Bills and led them to decades of mediocrity. Once again, this past Monday, the Tennessee Titans proved once more why they will always be our daddy. Today, I bow down and implore you all to tighten up. All right, it is time for listeners' questions. But first, Amy, I know we already answered your question, but Justin, I believe you have some breaking news in.
We have breaking slapdick news here on Ringside Rant. And you hear that dick slap in the background? That's our theme music for breaking slapdick news. Anyways, Amy Vaughn's lovely child, Aaron Vaughn, who I met in Jacksonville when we went to the pay-per-view this summer. He came and ate half of the cake that the great Brandy Wagner made for the house. But Aaron has apparently won, him and his football team has won their championship today. I saw a picture of him holding the big trophy. So Aaron, from us here at Ringside Rant, congratulations.
Yes,
you
yes.
did something the Bills couldn't do this week, and that's win a football game.
You wanted me to swear during a nice moment. What the fuck?
Aaron, don't listen anymore. RJ's being, he needs to pray and go to church.
I'm a bad person, Aaron. I'm just a bad person. But Justin brings it out of me. I blame it's Justin's fault.
So anyways, congratulations from Ringside Rant.
Congratulations, yes. Congratulations. Hopefully we'll see him running wild all over the Bengals pretty soon.
He's living in Kentucky. Could be a future draft pick for us.
Why not? Couldn't do
if
any worse.
He gets
worse
as big and tall
have.
As his dad. He'd probably be able to play line for us. We need it.
Yeah, I'm going to say you need that. But to move on to our listener questions, we're going to start with your friend and mine, the money man himself, Money Mike. So I just literally just finished reading all his questions that he sent to me on Monday. I just edited them down. They're probably like three chapters long. But I kind of narrowed it down to three good ones. So his first question is, since the Ultimate Warrior was on the show, what does dextrosity mean?
Dextrosity.
Dextrosity. Is that what it is? What did I say?
Dextrosity.
That too. I missed that S in there. I'm a good reader of words, let me tell you.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior's little phrase, dextrosity. What does that mean to each of us? What a dumb fucking question this is. I mean, come on, Money Mike. You know what it means to me? It means that the Ultimate Warrior's fucking crazy. That's what it means to me, what dextrosity means.
I think that means useless piece of garbage. Plain and simple. I really don't think we could get any more in depth on that.
You know, I think actually if you translate it in Yiddish, dextrosity means clean your office, Money Mike.
Accurate. True. His second question, we can't get anywhere. We can't go anywhere but down on this, the rest of this question. But his second question is, when you look at the venues used for some of the Saturday night's main event, there are some in some lesser known cities. Our smaller venues, such as this one in Toledo, what impact, if any, does the size of the venue or the town location have on the perceived importance of the show?
None. Unless it's WrestleMania and it ties in some which way, like Shawn Michaels in San Antonio or whatever. If it's something like that, yes. But just for a fucking Saturday Night's main event, no one gives a shit. The only thing Vince is going to do is say, we're live from wherever. And that's it. No one's going to give a fuck.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that they just I'm pretty sure that they just named the city that they were in. And I think pretty much the only reason why they did that is if you're watching, hey, I'm from fucking Toledo. Hey, I'm from Cincinnati. I'm from Rochester, whatever. The smaller cities, you're not going to a Chicago or Baltimore or Buffalo or Toronto or whatever. And that's why I think a lot of these Saturday night's main events were basically glorified house shows.
Yeah, they were. And I think they were probably just double taped sometimes too.
Right. And they're basically, I think Stan, I don't know if anybody out there can inform me on this, but I'm pretty sure that they did these at house shows loops. Where they would go and they just, hey, we're going to tape Saturday night's main event here, here, and here during these house show loops, wherever they may be throughout Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, wherever they were at that time. But I think it played a little part in it, I think, just because
I think the smaller venues made it look more packed and made it look
right,
more
right.
So that was good in that respect.
Yeah.
What else does the fucker have?
What's next? Jesus Christ.
Well, God. You were dropping F-bombs earlier on Aaron. You're going to get mad that I'm dropping them on Money
Mike. I wasn't
Mike.
Dropping them on him. God damn it. God, try to make me out to be a terrible person, which I am. But still, you don't do that with a child. Anyways.
Times don't last, but bad guys do, RJ. Yeah.
He'd kick both our asses.
He probably would. Yeah, I know what he would kick our asses in is a Rubik's Cube. Because he would give us all the Rubik's Cube and we'd all have to scramble it up and he'd have it fixed in, 30 seconds.
Well, he's a smart kid, then that's for goddamn sure. Thank God. I hope my son's like that. Anyways,
I doubt it.
Yeah, 95% is his mother, I swear. 5%, it's only the 5% that he needs. Anyways, his last question. Could or should the WWE have booked WrestleMania 6 Hogan versus Warrior 2 match for this card? Why or why not?
No. Because we're already moved on trying to sell other storylines at this point. We're trying to get, Slaughter over. We're trying to get Hogan into a spot.
Tugboat.
Yeah, I mean, we're just moved on past Hogan Warrior. And you don't want to do face versus face very often. They did it once at WrestleMania. That's the place to do it. You don't do it here at all. Once again, Money Mike, another reason why you're not allowed to book. And you know that. So
to make this work for Money Mike, how about I propose this? And correct me if you don't like it, fine. If not, whatever. If the listeners want to comment on it, that's fine too. This is October of 90. So we're going into a boom for the wrestling business. Would you be down with turning Hogan heel in 90? Facing a face warrior.
I probably wouldn't be down with turning Hogan heel until like 92. Now, 92, he pretty much turned himself heel at Royal Rumble 92 when he tried to fucking pull, when he cheated after he'd already been eliminated, then he eliminates someone else. That's heel shit.
Yeah, he pulled Sid over.
To help Flair win.
Mm-hmm.
That's heel shit.
Yeah. But
always pouts when he loses, and then he's allowed to heel and do whatever he wants because it's never fair when fucking Hogan loses. It's always, but he'll heel all fucking day long, and that's fine. And Gorilla looks right over that.
I think we got red ass JD this week. Just say Bret Hart sucks or he's overrated or whatever. Pretty much.
Well, I can get on a roll on Hogan's dumbass.
Well, yeah, I could too for fucking forever. But so our next group of questions comes from the devilish one himself, Devin Dowling. His first question is, did the Randy Savage versus Dusty deserve a better finish than what it was? I think we pretty much
covered it. And the answer is no, because the Schmoz finish was for a reason. Everything going on over there, and it was the DiBiase mix in with Dusty that they were trying to focus on more than what the fuck happened in that match.
Yeah, I don't think it would basically squashed this feud in a bad way, unfortunately. Yeah. But his second question is, should Sergeant Slaughter versus Coco been cut to give the main event more time?
No, because I think this is when they start to build Slaughter as a main event person. So why not put him in the main event here when the main event really don't matter on Saturday night?
Why would you not? Let's fantasy book this. Why wouldn't you put Slaughter against Von Erich and Coco against Haku and put that match up farther?
Because I think you want. Because you don't want to get losing heat on Slaughter or Kerry Von Erich right now. So you wouldn't put them together.
But you wouldn't be losing heat if you put Slaughter against Kerry.
I'm saying losing heat is as far as someone has to lose the match.
You don't have to lose. Do a fucking smash finish. This whole fucking card was smash finishes. Well, why not? What's it. One? Yeah. What's not one more?
I don't know. Yep. I just think they were kind of lining up squash matches for Sargent right now. And that's why Coco was thrown in.
Yeah, I get that point. But it's like, fuck, you want to have decent matches on this fucking card.
Well, like I said, I thought it was still fun. The Coco match and the Sargent match. I didn't mind it. I really didn't. I thought it was okay. I don't know. Maybe it's just because 1990 is just so much good nostalgia for me. Like, none of the matches I was really pissed off about.
Yeah. No, I don't want to say I was pissed off. It's just not, looking at it now, it's like, really? That happened? I like this? you know what I mean? But
for me, the worst part of the whole show was all the sausage. I mean, without the wiener schnitzels and the sausage and the liner... We could do without all that horseshit, but you know, they were still trying to, because of their success with like rock and roll on MTV and all that, I think they were trying to now stretch into more of an entertainment type show on Saturday night, which, and I can understand that, but I don't know if this is quite the entertainment I needed.
Right.
The Bushwhackers filling their mouths with a bunch of cheese and spitting it out. But it was funny because they said, one Luke or one of them goes, you know where that cheese is from? Famunda cheese.
every joke every kid said in elementary school, basically. But
you never can go wrong with Famunda cheese.
No, of course not. So Devin's last question is, how was life under George H.W. Bush? I'm going to send that over to you because you're the resident politician.
Okay. I can tell you this, and I don't want to talk politics, but I am not in the party that George H.W. Bush was in. However, I have actually last year finished reading a book about his life. I've always respected that man a lot for the American that he was. He was shot out of the sky in World War II. And started his own business and was very successful and served in multiple forms in the government, including the head of the CIA and all kinds of other stuff. So he has served this country very well. And I'm a big fan of George H.W. Bush. And honestly, the 4 years under him, I mean, I don't remember the first few years so well, but like 91, 92, we went to a war and won it within like one day. And I remember everyone loved him there for a minute. And then there toward around the early 92, the economy started to sputter out. I think too much trickle down economy from the Reagan years, and that kind of ousted Mr. Bush. But overall, I mean, the country was doing okay. I don't remember not a lot of problems. I mean, the economy kind of sputtered around, but it wasn't like the end of the world or anything. He just kind of got beat by a younger, more charismatic person. And I think the country after 8 years, or not 8 years, 12 years of Republican rule at that time, was ready to flip it over to the other party. But I always liked George H.W. Bush and still do to this day. So I don't know if that's the answer you was wanting, but I don't.
That's the answer you're going to be getting.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks to the devilish one himself for those questions. And if you want to ask any questions to us, you can follow us on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Might as well get the plugs in now, or you can DM them to JD at JD2040. As always, we're more active there on the Twitter gimmick. So our last question asker is our good friend Mustadon. He asked, would a Road Warriors versus Demolition feud have ever worked? If so, would it have taken place in the NWA or the WWF? And why?
Yeah, I think the WWF, if you could, you know, heel Demolition against face Legion of Doom, that would have been fun. And, you know, Demolition could have stole their doll, like whatever the Nasty Boys did or whoever did that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, right. Oh, Nasty Boys. It was on, yeah. It was on front of the motorcycle at 92 there.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm sure I don't think they had Fuji at this time. If they still had Fuji and Legion of Doom had Gary Hart and that fucking puppet, No, I don't know. Maybe
was it,
that
was it Gary Hart? Paul Ellering.
Paul Ellering, I'm sorry. They would have had Ellering. Maybe that could have been fun with both managers, you know, getting involved and all that shit. But I don't know. I think it could have worked easily. And I agree with Bruce when he says he didn't really see the comparison between the two. I mean, I guess, yeah, I can see because, you know, LOD wore leather with metal spikes at one time. But, you know, at this time, they were completely different entities. And I think the WWE fans knew that. So I think a feud would have been good.
Mm. My thought was, why couldn't they do both? You know, in 90, you could have had, let's say, have the Road Warriors in the NWA, have Demolition in WWF, do a little cross-branding. I know it's out of the realm of possibilities, but I would have liked to see that. Have the big company, the WWF, help out the NWA.
Problem is, no one's going to want to put each other over. Like, right, those types of shows are always fun to think about. Like, what would have happened, like, in 88 or 87 if you could have had Hogan Flair or, you know, whatever. But just no one's going to want to put each other over. Neither side's going to want the other side to go over. So it's an impossible dream, you know.
Right. No, I get that. But I'm like, just thinking of it, I'm like, obviously it would have to be one or the other. But, you know, why don't they do like a home and home series like they do in hockey? You know, have the Road Warriors go down the NWA, or excuse me, have the Demolition go down the NWA, have the Road Warriors come up to WWF, see what happens. And then have
now, if you just wanted to make it a big, huge house show at a big arena and sell it out and split the fucking money and not ever put it on TV, I could see that maybe.
Well, yeah, but and this time, that's what a lot of the better matches were. They weren't in front of the TV. They were the house shows. You know, you look at your Ric Flairs and races and Dusty's and all that stuff. But speaking of Dusty, his next question is, talking about that, is where does Dusty's run in WWF rank for you? Was it really all that most make it out to be?
Yeah, I mean, he was a fun character for me. I mean, when Dusty showed up, I didn't know the Dusty before that because I was a WWE kid. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea who Dusty Rhodes was. So my first introduction to him was him in these polka dots. He was always just such a fun character for me. And as we're getting ready to listen to, I really dug his music.
Mm-hmm.
His music is some of my favorite music of all time, but we'll get to that. Yeah. But just the overall character was fun. His run was fun. That, like we just talked about, the run with Macho Man, the feud with Macho Man was great. And, you know, their tag teams with Sapphire and Sister Sherry there. And that was all fun stuff. I didn't have a problem with it.
You know, it was fun stuff, but it's just like, I would have liked to have, I know he wasn't in the best condition when he came up to the company. I get that. But why not have a run with, you know, I would have loved to see Dusty and Von Erich. Obviously, it's a face in a face, but still, put that, have him go for the IC title.
Or you
could
have them be a tag team, actually, and right, have him go for the tag team championship.
You could do that. You know,
no Texas combo, baby. No right. One, two punch. I don't know about no tens, but that's one of my favorite things Dusty ever said. Ric Flair, all you talk about is tens, baby. Well, I don't know about no tens, but I got 5 and 5 for you, daddy.
But he knew how to do that. But yeah, his run in WWF doesn't really rank too high for me just because of that, because they didn't do anything with him. They put him in these matches with Macho King or DiBiase or any of this bullshit stuff that they'd had him do. So I don't really rank it too high on my list, but his third of four questions is, given the state of WCCW in Dallas at this time, pretty much Memphis extension, do you feel carrying the WWF was the best move? He was supposedly headed to the NWA WCW in 90, to head that Dudes with Attitudes faction and be the answer to the Four Horsemen with Sting versus Flair as the main event. Would Kerry have been a better fit in WCW?
Well, if you think about it there, maybe Kerry could have taken the Magnum TA spot. but
in 90?
No, I'm saying earlier, 86? Like in 87.
87,
maybe, yeah. Come in 87, 88. Mm-hmm. Kerry come in then, he could have maybe filled that vacuum for a baby face in WCW. I don't know. And then maybe you could look at maybe, you know, a Flair, a Kerry rematch,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, all kinds of stuff going on there. But hell, if you had Kerry beat Flair, then you could have Terry Funk and Kerry. That would have been cool.
Now, see, to also piggyback off of that too, Justin, is I think it would have worked a lot better with him in WCW for the simple fact of people in WCW knew who he was. He goes mm-hmm. up to WWF up north. Not everybody, but I'd say probably 90% of the audience doesn't know who the fuck he is.
No.
Because they haven't seen his WCCW stuff. Most
of us are kids, right? I mean, that's who Vince focused on at the time.
You just see the fucking gimmick. But looking at it now as an adult and talking with guys like the Enforcer himself, Pondwater Dave, baby, or the little Enforcer, excuse me.
Don't call him baby.
Don't call him baby, baby. But
he ain't no baby, baby. He's a little Enforcer. Yeah, a little Enforcer, baby.
I thought you were going to go into Paul Bearer there for a second.
To Enforcer. Yes.
But I would have really liked to see Kerry more in WCW, like you said, to take that Magnum spot there, 87, 88. And he could really have finished his career there because he could have done a lot more.
If he stays mentally healthy, obviously, and stays with us. If he could have stayed with WCW that whole run through and been there like Sting, you know what I mean?
Right.
And imagine if he was there during the NWO time period, you know, mm-hmm. that's kind of fun to think about what that could have been.
All right. So Mussadon's last question is, could Nikolai and Slaughter have had a feud where we saw a role reversal from their move or their more popular and prominent roles? Obviously, we saw in this event, we didn't touch on it because they knew we were going to get to it at this point. But we saw Nikolai come out as a American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I think these two had a match later on, right? Like,
yeah.
So they did set up this kind of feud. I don't know that any of us need to see that match, though. Nikolai Volkoff and Sergeant Slaughter. It's not necessarily Eddie versus Ray.
Well, no. Nothing's Eddie versus Ray. I can tell you that right now. That's for goddamn sure. But I think they did what they could with it. You know, we're not going to get a fucking 16 star match in the Tokyo Dome from these two guys. They proved a point. It was America versus Iraq. Somebody had to.
Didn't they do that at the Survivor Series? Like it was.
Yeah, I think they did I think that's what they did. I think they did. Yeah. There are certain teams on either side. It was like the all
teams of five strive to survive.
Four of some. I don't know. There you go. They can do it. You can go watch. Actually, I'll probably watch that tomorrow then, because that's got me. Maybe later while I'm editing this up. Watch that Survivor Series. But no, yeah, I would have. It was what it was. I think they would have done it, and they did do it to move it forward. But thank you to Mussadon and Michael and Amy and Devin, as always. For asking you questions. Like I said, if anybody wants to ask us any questions, I tend to put out a daily post between our release of this episode on Friday. I usually put another one out on Saturday when we definitely know what we're going to be doing or when we're going to do it. Just DM us at @_ringsiderant or at JD2040 on Twitter. Any of your questions. No question is a bad question right here on the Ringside Rant. So with that being said, Justin, we're going to go over to everybody's favorite segment other than Amy, because we rank Goldust too low. It is time for Wrestling with Music.
I want to get musical.
All right. After that nice, nice voice, that soothing voice that it is.
Golden voice, Justin Davis.
There you go. It is now time for Wrestling With Music. So I am going to run
more
down.
More like copper, maybe rust, the rust voice.
It's metallic rust voice. Sounds like you've been smoking for 30 years, kid.
I sound like Marge Simpson's twin sisters.
Thelma and Louise, or not Thelma and Louise, fuck. Yeah.
Thelma and something, yeah.
Thelma and Thelma or whatever. Anyways, our rankings are as follows from 1 to 18. At the top, Steve Austin, NWO Black and White, Undertaker, Bret Hart, Jake Roberts, Four Horsemen, The Brood, Rowdy Piper, Goldberg, Goldust at 10. That's for you, Amy. He's been moved up. Our people that rank it for us have been fired. Number 11 is Kane, Rick Rude, British Bulldog, Ricky Steamboat, Shawn Michaels, Owen Hart as a Rocket, Juventud Guerrera, and last and certainly least, Hulk Hogan, WCW. So,
all right.
With that being said,
I'm excited for our two ones this week. I think the two songs that we're bringing to you guys this week, they're both from the show.
Yeah.
You guys probably have a good idea who they are. I referenced one already, but they're both solid, solid, old school, golden era theme songs right here.
So, Justin, I'm going to hit mine first. So, without further ado.
Without further ado, baby.
American Dream. He's just a common man.
Justin, so that is the legend himself, baby, Dusty Rhodes, baby.
Dude, I love that song so much. Sometimes that song will just pop up in my head and I'll start singing it. I've always loved that song since I was a kid, you know, that and you know, Hulk Hogan's theme song back then were probably my two favorites.
Yeah, no, but that's the iconic. Like I put out, we talked about last week with Mike Kolb and Frank Bruno, is this list here incorporates everything. The wrestler, how the music, you know, hits you the feels, brings that nostalgic feel back. The popularity at that time, the actual music itself. So, with that being said, I really think, looking at the list, Justin,
I think we have to start talking at the top 10. So who's number 10?
Gold Dust.
Yeah, Dusty's going to slide Gold Dust up out of here.
Yeah. Sorry, Amy.
Sorry, Amy. Hey, but Aaron won the football championship this week. There you go. Just ignore this app.
So how about this? Put Dusty at 9 with Goldberg. Put Goldberg underneath Gold Dust.
Oh, I'd be for that.
Okay, so
I'm for that.
So we'll put Dusty. Yeah,
we're just fucking around with our own rankings, but you know what? They're ours. We're allowed to.
Yeah, if you don't like it, then too bad.
The only reason Goldberg got ranked so high is because that cocksucking Mike Kolb.
Basically, I will blame Kolb for that. Why not? So with that being said, we are at Dusty is at 9, Goldust is at 10, and Goldberg is at 11.
Okay, so hold on, we're not done. Who's at 8? Because Dusty's still moving up this list.
Oh, you still want going up?
Oh, I want to know who's next. I just started there. That's not where I was going.
Oh, I thought you were finishing there.
No, I just figured he needs. I knew he was beating everybody outside the top 10. I just wanted to know. Okay, so now where we go?
8 is Piper, 7 is The Brood, 6 is The Horseman. 5 is Jake Roberts, 4 is Bret Hart, Undertaker's 3, NWO's 2, and Austin is 1.
This I could don't. Get heat. Well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
If at all, the highest I would put him would be 7.
Who's that in front of?
Piper and the Brood. I'd put him
in front of the Horseman. So where's that at?
But you said before?
Yeah, right before the Horseman.
That's 6. So we're talking he'd be number 6 right behind Jake Roberts.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. That's how much I believe in this one. I believe in the Dusty theme, man. I think it's awesome.
How about we compromise?
It just gets you in a good mood.
No, it does. I don't disagree.
It fits the character so well. He's an American. He he's working hard with his hands. God damn it! I work my fingers to the bone all the time. That's a different story.
Oh Jesus Christ! You know what? After careful consideration and taking a quick poll of our audience, survey says, yeah, why not? Let's put him at 6. Fuck? What the fuck? So, all right. So we're going.
American Dream, baby. I'm the most recognizable professional athlete in the world today.
All right. So we moved him up to, that'll bump Goldust back into the top 10 then.
Yeah.
He'll stay at 10 instead of going down to 11.
Yeah, but I got a feeling he might get bumped right up out of there again on this next one. So anyways, we will move on to my theme music for this week. And we have got to go.
Hold on.
Here comes the axe and here comes the smasher, motherfuckers. It's the walking disaster, and that is Demolition. And we all know Demolition's theme music is badass, fits the character very, very well. All those things, man. And when you think about this time period, this theme song comes to mind. So RJ, with that said, let's hit it. I love that. The devils will get you, boys. That's badass shit right there.
So I will admit, Justin, I did forget. I haven't listened to the actual words of that theme in a very long time. So I my opinion on it has drastically changed. Believe it or not.
Yeah, it's good shit, pal. But like I said, it just fits the character so well, fits the time period very well. The song still holds up. I mean, it really does. It still sounds great. I mean, it's not like it's 30 years old, or 40 years old at this point, so it sucks. No, it's still pretty good.
Now, let me put it this way. Is it top 5 worthy? You think it's
5?
That high?
Five
is Jake Roberts.
I would slide it in front of Jake. That's
right
where I'm
right behind Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
We could even slide it in front of Brett if you want. That's up to you. But I think it is in front of Jake.
I think it's in front of Jake. That's where I was going to put it. It was right in front of Jake, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but hip.
I'm good with that. So, yeah, we've got, we've got 20 songs now. And
yeah.
These two songs that we had today both broke the top 10 and one jumped into the top 5. So
right.
There's still a lot of great songs to go, guys, but that was fun. I enjoyed both of those songs, hearing them again.
Let me make a pitch to you here. I still want to keep Goldust in the top 10. How would you feel?
Are we going to have a tie for that 10 spot?
No. We're not going to have a tie. Fuck ties.
Oh, okay.
What did ties ever do to anybody?
I wear them sometimes, but go ahead.
Never mind. I'm not going to count. Usually anyways,
it's just a tie.
It's just a tie. do you flip? Would you be in favor of flip-flopping Goldust in the Brood? Putting Goldust at 9 and the Brood at 11?
I would say no. I love Goldust, but I love the Brood more.
Or Goldust and Piper. No? Or you want to keep Goldust at 11 like he is?
I'll tell you who I could flip out of that top 10 for me. Is Steamboat.
Steamboat's 16.
Oh, I thought he was in the top 10.
No.
Oh,
he's nowhere near the top 10. All right. So our listing, our rankings at this point.
He used to be in the top 10 weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm going to say after we added all these. So actually, we have, in addition to our list, we have Dusty at 7 and Demolition is at 5. I will post this tomorrow as we're obviously recording. It'll be tomorrow morning, but I will post these as soon as the episode comes out. What I'll do from now on, Justin, I will actually put the Wrestling with Music rankings in the tweet feed.
Yeah.
So everybody knows what, how we stand with the rankings for Wrestling
with
Music.
He's supposed to put them on the show notes too, people, but he forgot to do that.
I
was flying blind on our list. That's why I had to ask. But you know what? That's okay. That's Ringside Rant production over here, guys. That's what I'm having to deal with. But you know, he's been sad this week. The Bills lost.
Jesus Christ.
Just been depressed. He hasn't been doing what he's needed to be doing. So he's been distracted.
Killing me. Absolutely killing me.
Well,
here's a thought. Make a note yourself in your own phone like I did. Here's a thought. Wild thought.
You didn't bring up the thing you said you was going to jump on me about this week. You done forgot. Something about Owen and what I bought him this week. This is what I'm dealing with, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll thoroughly admit my memory is absolutely fucking shot. I've had 2 major concussions. I really think I have a memory problem. I really do. Anyways.
So your wife has knocked you out twice?
Yeah, this has just been in the last 2 weeks. Jess and I talk on a regular basis. I'll tell the story. We talk on a daily basis, semi-daily, whatever. So he mentions that he went to the store to get something for Owen. I said, oh, okay, what is it? I'm thinking toy, I'm thinking food, I'm thinking bone, whatever, one of those raw hides, whatever. It's like, oh no, I got him a stroller. I'm like a baby stroller or like a wagon or something. Or he's like, no, it's a stroller. I said, you're going to be one of those fucking pet owners.
Well, he also has a Bengals hoodie on its way that should be here tomorrow.
He'll
be game ready this weekend.
That's another conversation that we can have next week about dressing up your pets.
The stroller had to occur because we went to a festival this weekend where there was a lot of people walking tightly together. And I didn't want him to get bitten or ran over by someone or bit by another dog and B, parvo and pick that up off the ground or something. But I did want him to go. So he got put in the stroller and zipped up so he couldn't get out, but he could see everything going on.
So here's a thought. I know this is going to come a shock to a lot of people and yourself included. Leave him at home?
Well, it was an hour and a half drive one way.
Oh,
we're gonna be down there all day. Kind of one of those deals. So.
Okay. I thought it was one of those things that was right around the corner kind of deals.
Trust me, if I didn't have to drop a hundo on this damn dog stroller,
it was $100?
Yes, I would have been perfectly fine. But you know, sometimes I don't get to do what I want around here.
Jesus.
I don't win all arguments. You would know about that when you're
I haven't won a fucking argument since 2009.
Even
that's when I proposed.
What we got going on next week?
So next week, enough about us and our whatever. Anyways, so next week we're going to be ranting and raving, have you with, about one of the better pay-per-views in WCW history, Halloween Havoc 1997, which is coming to us on October 26, 1997, from the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Obviously, this is known for being the legitimately the best match of all time.
I was going to say, speaking of Ray and Eddie.
Is Ray and Eddie a title versus mask match. This is going to be main evented by Rowdy Piper and Hollywood Hogan in a steel cage match. So I know we're going to have a lot of fun with this. This is also on this card is the Las Vegas death match, sudden death match between Savage and DDP. So we're this card is stacked with a lot of good matches and a few.
I think definitely you can make an argument. This may be WCW's best pay-per-view.
Oh, without question.
An argument can definitely be made for that.
I don't think that there's going to be too many arguments against it.
I'm sure there's some out there that, you know, there's some other pay-per-views out there, but this one's pretty damn good. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it and it'll be fun to, I think I've seen a lot of matches on that show. Mm-hmm. Just watching them separately. I don't know that I've watched that whole pay-per-view for at least 2 or 3 years, maybe since I watched it with Tony Schiavone probably back in the day, it'll be good to go back and watch it again.
Right. Yeah. Without question. We implore you or our loyal listeners out there in Raiders Nation to go out, watch this pay-per-view whenever you can between now and next week. Prepare yourself for the show. If you want, like I said, we said it before, send in questions at @ringsiderant at JD2040. We'll love to get you involved in this show, give you a shout out, talk about you. Hopefully nothing bad.
For us next week. You might hear us somewhere else.
Thank you for reminding me. You may or may not hear about Ringside Rant on Tuesday. We'll just say that.
That is true.
We'll just say it there. And all I will say is make sure you follow us on Twitter at @ringsiderant. You will see and hear some great news. But some other great news, you can head us over on Twitter there. Go over to ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Check out our great merchandise there as well. Thank you to all our brethren in all these great networks we're a part of. Full Press Coverage, The Visionaries Global Media, Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, as well as Wrestling with Johnners. Thank you each and every one of you that has made these last 3 months, Justin, probably the most played, most listened to episodes we've ever had on the Ringside Rant, without question. I don't know if it's me, if it's you, if it's a combination of both of us, if it's a combination of everything in general, the show, whatever, but thank you so much for making this show as popular as it's been numbers wise. And I'm not saying that numbers is everything, but the interaction that we've had with a lot of people, Amy, Money Mike, Devin, Musadon, Hoop, JD Hoop, even too. I've talked to him and a lot of other people that have DM'd and said, hey, we love it.
The more the merrier, and get on the rant wagon. Let's go. It's fun.
And Bills are on a bye week this week, so
the Bengals will be winning in Baltimore. So baby.
I will say those Bengals upset pick of the week, my friend. So thank you, each and every one of you, and we'll see you next week right here in Ranters Nation.